Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
Welcome to this program of the Lions Den University Report. We do have a great privilege in doing this ministry. We could have gone to having our interviews over the telephone and not meet the guests actually in person. And some potential guests we have not been able to get in person. And we hope to do some phone interviews, but it's great to be in person. Also, as I visit the campuses, I'm able to do some ministry. And a lot of times I'll just visit different departments and knock on some doors, meet some professors, cold turkey, and tell them I'm on their campus doing interviews with dedicated evangelical Christians, and do they know any in their department? And I'll get a confused look, or some of them will say, well, it's not me. And sadly, many of them say, no, I don't know, even know of any, which is tragic, not only that they don't know any, but that there's none that are visible enough, and that students are going through these universities many times never experiencing a believer as a Christian professor. We're here today at the University of West Florida, another beautiful setting. We were on the West Coast, on the panhandle, western panhandle of Florida. My guest for this program is Twyman Safford, and he's a student here involved with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And once again, I'd like to reinforce the need to pray for our campuses. And in particular, we've had a great setback with the attack on InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at Cal State University. The Cal State system has 23 campuses, 23 universities, including San Diego State and others. We interviewed a man from Cal State Northridge. And the hostility to the faith expressed in the fact that they were removed from campus and expelled from their position as a recognized student organization simply because they want their leaders to hold to the beliefs of the organization. And if that isn't just common sense, that ought to be accepted. And freedom of speech ought to allow people to have organizations where people believe something and not be open to just any belief. But at the university, to hold a Christian belief is becoming unpopular in many ways. And pray for the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at the Cal State system. Pray for our universities that there would be a revival of faith. As we've said many times, the universities, many of them were started to promote the Christian faith and train Christians for leadership in churches. But we're here with Twyman Safford, and first thing that caught my attention is I'm having a hard time getting your name into my head and sticking with it because it's so unique. And then you told me how you got it. It was even more unique. And so tell us how you got the name Twyman, T-W-Y-M-U-N. How did you come up with that name?
Yeah.
Or your parents?
It's a funny story, Glenn. My mom and dad were trying to figure out, you know, what exactly do we name our son? And my older brother was like, you know, hey, why don't you guys take your two names and combine them? My mother's name was Twyla, and my dad's name was Raymond. So you take Twyla, you take Raymond, you kind of slap them together, and you get Twyman, which is just a fusion of the two.
Right. Okay. So your brother is responsible then for coming up with this idea, and your parents took it.
Yeah, they took it and ran with it.
All right. How old was your brother at that time?
He had to have been 13.
Okay.
There's like a 13 age difference between us. So.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, very unique. And I think though, all of us are made in God's image. And yet, just like the snowflakes, they were talking about it on the Weather Channel the other day. Again, you know, all these billions and billions and trillions, who knows, I forget the number that they even said, a number just bigger than any other number almost, is how many snowflakes have fallen to the earth, and yet no evidence that any two are alike. and God made man in his image, and we all have different fingerprints, and the same way, his great creativity and uniqueness are seen in human beings. And what are you studying here at the university, and how long have you been here?
This will be my second year here. My first year I spent at a university in Daytona Beach. It's called Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and that university is more focused on engineering and careers that are kind of related to the aerospace industry. I transferred here for my sophomore year, and I am doing engineering physics with a minor in mathematics.
Great. Okay. Engineering physics and a minor in mathematics. Kind of some technical stuff there. And you're a dedicated follower of Christ and active in university, and even mentioned that we talked to a previous one of your members of your group and mentioned fasting, that your group does fasting. Tell us again the practice that you do before your meetings each week. You have a time of fasting.
Yes. I think the misconception with fasting is that fasting just has to be solely food. Like, I think it's important to fast from those things that we realize that we're devoting way more attention to than we are to our Lord and Savior. With me personally, I know I do tend to frequent internet chat sites, and I do end up using my phone throughout the day, so sometimes I have to distance myself from technology,
right,
and food as well in order to draw closer to God.
All right. So you use that time to look to the Lord and to ask His blessing on the meeting of that day. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. In addition to that, it's a time to pray. It's a time to intercede on the behalf of those that may not know Christ. I think a lot of times we get kind of comfortable in this privatized Christianity where, you know, oh, well, you don't know God. But the fact that God has given us a new heart and new spirit means that we have compassion for those that are without Christ. So it should be our sincere hope and our sincere mission to not only establish a relationship with God for ourselves, but to also invite others to receive the same grace that we have received as well.
Amen. All right. And now, in studying things like physics, you are studying the world that God made. Is in your mind, how do you understand your studies? How does your Christian faith affect your perspective on those particular areas?
Yeah, if you were to approach science from a naturalistic tent, like, you would probably believe that science is just simply the discovery and the study of the universe. But for the believer, that definition gets expanded a bit more. When we come to faith in Christ and we realize that it was through Christ that God created the universe, now we realize that science is just simply us as mankind seeking to study, to discover, and to learn about the universe that our God has created.
All right, and we think that the reason you can study science, and actually the founders of modern science believed that God made an orderly universe that reflects an intelligence and design. It's not just a random accidental world that we live in, but it's not only designed, but extremely designed down to the minutest of details.
Exactly. Like, it would be one thing for us to simply babble on about the God that we believe in, and to simply say we believe the universe is established with a uniform set of laws and a uniform set of phenomena that we can observe on a daily basis. It's another thing entirely for us to take a microscope or to take any type of device used to measure and take empirical data and to realize that that's confirmed as true. This speaks volumes, because that means that not only is the Bible the forerunner to what a lot of things we've discovered in science, it also means we have a God that is trustworthy in his entirety. If you look at the book of Job, when Job describes some of the qualities of God, he says, you know, he takes the heavens and he stretches them out. If you look at science, in fact, more recently, as we've done with modern science and astrophysics, we realize that the universe itself is expanding at a set rate as it's starting to cool.
Right. And so that was an insight that Job had from being revealed to him from God as he gave scripture to us. And also Job talks about the hydrological cycle where the water, is in the oceans and then it evaporates, goes into the air and then condenses and comes back to the ground again. And Job described that, you know, thousands of years perhaps before it was, codified into modern science and that we realized all that was involved in that process.
Even if you look at some of the Levitical laws, like that pertain to cleanliness or even with like marriage rituals and rites, like realizing that, of course, you know, having to purify objects went back to hygienics, because we know now that diseases and illnesses can spread through bacteria and germs that come in contact with surfaces and come in contact with one another. When God forbid the marriage of family members to one another that were within their close lineage, like from mother to son or from son to sister and so forth, we realize that that was because in a naturalistic realm, we see that intermarrying within one's family meant that the risk for certain genetic disorders or certain like disabilities that were, you know, recessive in your family became amplified.
Right. Okay. And also, I think as we were talking before, you mentioned even how modern scientists look at nature to come up with ideas that can be used to help our modern lifestyle. And you mentioned something from the insect world that showed the design that we've learned from that we have applied. And what was that all about?
Yeah, there was a specific type of insect. The name eludes me, but there's a mechanism within its leg, like it's almost like an organic set of gears. And the way that this insect deploys this mechanism allows it to actually expand the range it can get for each of its jumps. If we look at, for example, trees, like as you've described so eloquently, like trees, if you look at leaves, are just simply organic solar panels, because leaves essentially absorb the sun's light and they, through the process of chlorophyll, turn that into the energy and food for the plant. So a lot of times we look at science and we don't quite see it, but hey, we may be inspired by what we see in nature to take that and transform it into a form that's usable for our everyday life and our everyday task.
Right. Okay. And you also, as we were talking, we had a good conversation before turning on the microphones, as we do many times with our broadcast. The other side of that, too, you talk about the leaves. You mentioned the beauty there, that also shows God's nature in the fact that he didn't just create things that were practical, that worked, but that they also had innate beauty as well.
Right, and that demonstrates a personal touch to the universe as well. It would be one thing to argue that things are as they are just because there's practicality to it, but noticing that there are different pigments and different hues to even the various shades that a set of butterflies can have, like no two species of butterflies are the exact same color. That represents that there is a personal touch put into that as well, aside from the practicality behind it as well.
Right, okay.
Representing a creator that's not only intelligent, but a creator that's also emotionally involved in every aspect of our lives.
Yes, amen. And so we have a loving God who made us in his image, and he sent his son Jesus to be our savior. If we'll turn from our rebellion, our sin, and selfishness, and receive Christ, we can know our Creator as well as knowing he exists. And so that's what you're involved with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship here at the University of West Florida. And now you're involved with the organization, and you say your leadership team, one of the things they try to do is mentor the other students or be an example of a dedicated follower to Christ. Is that one of your functions as one of the leaders?
Yes, sir, it is. In fact, I believe that everyone has unique talents and gifts that God gives them, and God uses that to reach people in different ways. I think there will be a difference between me as an individual getting up to deliver a sermon or deliver a message, and a certain group of people may resonate with that message more, and vice versa. You, Mr. Glenn, could get up and you can give a message or you can give a sermon, and another group of people would resonate with that sermon a bit more.
Right.
But ultimately, it's the same God that uses us both to deliver that sermon, to deliver that message.
Amen. Amen. So he has given us the opportunity to serve him, and you're doing that here in Pensacola, Florida, and with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship on this campus. And we trust that the light of Christ will shine here, that a revival could take place. My guest for this broadcast has been Twyman Safford, and he's a student studying engineering physics, and is involved in leadership with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And Twyman, thanks for joining us today for this broadcast.
Thank you, Glenn. It was a privilege having you here.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Reports. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844, or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.